Hi, this is Josh Cook. Thank you for downloading the North Jackson Church of Christ sermon audio file. If you have any questions or would like to contact us, check out our website at northjacksonchurchofchrist.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in our worship service. You're always welcome at North Jackson Church of Christ.
We're grateful for each and every one who's made our Bible classes and our worship service possible this morning. We're especially grateful to each and everyone who's here this morning, especially our guests. So, North Jackson, let's try to be on our best behavior, and let's look around, and if we see someone that we don't know, let's get to know them better. If we look around and see one of our brothers or sisters in Christ struggling a little bit this morning, let's reach out and encourage them. We're a family. We are, as we sang a moment ago, the family of God. And what a blessing it is to be a Christian, to be a member of the church, and to be a part of such a great and wonderful family. Did you know that children spell love a little bit differently than most adults? You see, children spell love T-I-M-E. That's right. Time is how they spell love. So why is it that spending time together is so really important to families today? Let's talk about it. Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. That was a story in nursery school for four-year-old Jane. She had never heard the story before, and so she listened intently. And she learned about how this beautiful young lady had eaten this poisonous apple given to her by this witch, and she had fallen asleep, and she could only be awakened by a kiss from Prince Charming. And so once she heard that story, she couldn't wait to get home and tell her mom all about it. So as mom was preparing dinner, Jane was seated on a stool there at the bar, and she was describing to her mom about Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. And when she came to the end of the story, she said, "And Prince Charming kissed her back to life. And then you know what happened?" And mom replied, "Well, yes, they lived happily ever after." And she said, "No, they didn't. They got married." Well, sometimes spending time with our children and even spending time with our spouses can be a little bit challenging. But at least mom was spending time with her daughter, and at least her daughter was spending time with her mother, telling her all about her day that day. In the passage that was read for us just a moment ago about Jesus in the age of 12, when his parents forgot him and journeyed back home, then only to remember that they had misplaced him, and they went back and looked all over Jerusalem for him and finally found him in the temple. And Jesus replied to them, "Why did you look everywhere else? Why didn't you start here? Didn't you know I must be about my Father's business?" And they surely couldn't understand what he said. But Jesus went back home with them and obeyed them until he finally left Nazareth to begin his public ministry at the age of 30. So Mary and Joseph weren't perfect. So Mary and Joseph made some mistakes. We all do. But one thing you can't fault them for is that they didn't spend time with their son or their children. They had traveled all the way from Nazareth to Jerusalem to observe the Passover, and they traveled in great caravans. So you had your family and your extended family with you, and many of those nights were spent around the campfire as they reminisced about the good old days, and they told stories about God's great redemptive works, and they were together as they walked along, and they many times sang hymns as they traveled along. And so they were together. And that's the emphasis that I want to place on this particular story this morning. Not the fact that Jesus was missing, but the fact that Mary and Joseph weren't absent. They were present. And that's what our children are dying to have and need. And as spouses in our marriages, that's what we also need: time together. And so, taking the word time, as children often spell it, I want us to use it as an acrostic. Let's begin with the letter T, and let's think about the word treasure. And time is to be treasured. How important is time? Well, how important is an hour? Well, ask a businessman whose flight was delayed 1 hour and he missed an important business meeting. How important is 1 minute? Well, ask a man who had a heart attack in a restaurant and an EMT just happened to be in a table beside him and CPR saved his life. How important is 1 second? Well, just ask the Olympic swimmer who did not qualify for the Olympics, missing it by 6/100ths of a second. How important is time? Time is so valuable. We'll not have this time right now ever again. Once this time comes and goes, it's gone forever. Time is something to be valued and treasured. In the Bible, that's so clear. For the days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason they be 80 years, yet there is strength, labor, and sorrow, for soon it is cut off and we fly away. The words of Solomon in Proverbs 90, verse 10. Or the words of Peter, who quotes the words of Isaiah from Isaiah 40, verses 6 and 8. I'm thinking of 1 Peter 1, verses 24 and 25. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. So as the word of the Lord endures forever, we realize that in this lifetime, we're not going to endure forever, and that the time that we're given by God is so valuable and so incredibly important. And so back to Psalm 90, verse 12, Solomon said, "So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. May God help us to make every minute, every second count in our marriages and with our children." I like what someone once said, "How you spend your time is more important than how you spend your money." 2 weeks ago on Friday at 9:30 in the morning, Stan Mitchell walked out of the library having gotten his morning coffee. It was his ritual. He was on his way to Lloyd Auditorium. He was going to speak in chapel that morning. He would never make it. He collapsed in the middle of the road. A student found him, and immediately 911 was called, and the ambulance got there in a matter of minutes. They had to revive him. But they did, and he got to the Jackson Madison County Hospital, where he one more time died. They brought him back to life. And he would linger for a week, and then he would die. And he would leave behind a wonderful family, but he would also leave behind a university family. And I've got to be really honest with you. While I grieved with Stan's family, I could not help thinking that could have been me. Stan was 1 year older than I am. And one of the things that you think about in any job, but one perhaps as stressful as this one, that any day that could be you and your heart could stop beating. Life does turn literally on a dime. And I kept thinking about an old Garth Brooks song, "If Tomorrow Never Comes, Will She Know How Much I Loved Her?" So time is to be treasured because you just don't get it back. You can spend it wisely or foolishly, but this moment will never be again. So right now, today, this very second, let's make every minute count. And then let's use the word "I" to mean invest. We need to invest our time so wisely. And I understand that it's kind of tricky, because the Bible says life is so uncertain. It's brief, but it's also so uncertain. So James says, "Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we shall buy," or "we shall live, and we shall go into such and such a city, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boasting, and all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So we boast not of tomorrow, for we know not what tomorrow will bring. Proverbs 27, verse 1. So we live here and now, and we try to invest here and now, and we invest in our marriages, and we invest in our families, we invest in rearing our children, and like Mary and Joseph, we invest in our worship to God. But invest that time we must, because if we don't invest it, we're going to lose it, and we'll never be able to reinvest it. So right now, we have an opportunity to take the time that we're given and invest it in the things that really, really matter. So what are those? Well, listen to the words of Deuteronomy 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. The Lord is one. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto your children, and talk of them when you sit in the house, and when you walk in the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. In other words, what Moses is trying to tell Israel's families at that time was simply this. Every single moment we have with our marriages or with our children, with our lives, period, we need to make them count. And the best way to make them count is to live for the Lord. So whether in the home or outside the home, in the house, outside the house, as we lie down to go to bed or as we rise up in the morning to start a new day, may it always be about God. And may it always be about marriages, and may it always be about our families. When Katie, our daughter, and Nathan too, when they were little, we used to go and we would, at nighttime, we would go in and read a Bible story with them, and then we would say our prayers, and they would say their prayers, and that time was so valuable, and we loved, enjoyed that time. Now that Katie is an adult, and now that she has two children, she has a ritual with her children, and that ritual that she and her husband do is simply this. They go in with Annie, and they'll do this with Oliver too. And they will. They'll read a Bible story, and they will say their prayers. But they also sing a song, Jesus Loves Me. That's how Annie's learned to go to sleep. And that's how Oliver will learn as well, we hope. But sometimes when Annie is really sleepy and she doesn't want to sing, she'll just simply go to the chorus, Yes, Jesus Loves Me, and that's where it ends. But that's the way that day ends for her. But that time is just as important to her parents as it is to her. You know, the truth is, every one of us will be given 168 hours each week. 56 of those hours we'll spend sleeping. 24 of those hours we'll spend eating and on hygiene. 50 of those hours we'll use working. And then we have 35 hours of discretionary hours. In other words, 5 hours each day to do with what we want to do with them. So those discretionary hours that we're blessed with and we're given, what are we doing with them? How much of those 35 hours are directed toward God? How much of those 35 hours are directed toward our marriages? And what percentage of those 35 hours do we invest in our families? Or do we do what so many do today, invest it in themselves? A lot of parents, unfortunately, spell love, T-H-I-N-G-S. And all their children are wanting them to do is spend a little time with them. It's not so much what we do for our children as it is what we do with our children. And it makes a huge difference, doesn't it? So T, treasure. I, invest. M, manage. We need to manage the time that we're given. And I understand that it's hard to do that because God is in control. So someone once said, maybe the best way to approach this is not necessarily managing my time as much as managing myself. Putting myself under the control or authority or rule or guidance of God. And as God directs me, so then I try to invest that back again into my marriage and into the lives of my children. There are so many things that distract us, right? John said it this way, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he who does the will of God abides forever. And so the world, through the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, all try to choke out time that we could spend in our marriages or spend in our family time. Those 35 hours that we have free, that have been given to us, we can do with them anything that we want. So many times we spend them simply, frivolously on ourselves. Maybe I'm on my iPad. Maybe I'm on my computer. Maybe I'm watching TV. Maybe I'm reading this or reading that. But that time that I could be spending in my marriage or with my children is time I'll never get back again. And so I need to do a better job of managing the time God has given us. God speaks in terms of redeeming the time. See then that you walk circumspectly, or that is, carefully, not as fools, but wise, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understanding what the will of God is. What does it mean to redeem the time? It means simply to make every opportunity that we can to spend time with our spouses, to spend time with our children, and to spend time, most importantly, with the Lord. In trying to redeem the time, we have to make time in our marriages. We have to schedule and make time to be with our children. We need to play with them. We need to pray with them. We need to eat dinner with them. If we can't make any other meal with them, surely we can make that one meal with them. And I know we laugh sometimes and call it the leave it to beaver moment. But you've got to admit, when your children are seated around that table, you learn all their secrets. You learn everything that's going on in their lives. You learn much more than about Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. You learn about all of their friends, and you get an insight into who they are and who they're becoming. There's bedtime, getting up in the morning and making the day special. It's learning to say no. The problem so much with us as parents is that we're overbooked, overworked, therefore tired a lot. Sometimes we're overcommitted. We're committed to this, we're committed to that. And this is the pot calling the kettle black. No one has a more difficult time with that than I do. It's almost impossible for me to say no. And I have people who love me who are shouting in my ears, you need to say no more often. And they're right. I remember one preacher who said about rearing his children, he said, if I could go back and change time, I would do one thing. I would play more with my three sons. And so if that's all we can do, then that's what we ought to do. We need to put our wants aside and meet their needs. We need to let them know how important they are to us. When we say no to these other things, they realize we're saying yes to them. When we say no to them and yes to these other things, they get the message loud and clear. They're not that important. But oh, they are. You know the song by Harry Chapin, Cats in the Cradle. A child arrived just the other day. He came to the world in the usual way. But there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away. And as he was talking, before I knew it, and as he grew, he'd say, I'm going to be like you, Dad. You know, I'm going to be like you. And the cats in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man in the moon. When are you coming home, Dad? I don't know when, but we'll get together then. You know, we'll have a good time then. My son turned 10 just the other day. He said, thanks for the ball, Dad. Come on, let's play. Can you teach me to throw? I said, not today. I got a lot to do. He said, that's okay. And he walked away, but his smile never dimmed. He said, I'm going to be like him. Yes, I'm going to be like him. Well, it came from college just the other day, so much like a man. I just had to say, son, I'm proud of you. Can you sit for a while? He shook his head and said with a smile, what I'd really like, Dad, is to borrow the car keys. See you later. Can I have them, please? I've long since retired. My son's moved away. I called him up just the other day. I said, I'd like to see you if you don't mind. He said, I'd love to, Dad, if I can find the time. You see, my new job's a hassle and the kids have the flu, but it's sure nice talking to you, Dad. It's sure been nice talking to you. And as I hung up the phone, it occurred to me he had grown up just like me. My boy was just like me. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon. Little boy blue and the man in the moon. When you're coming home, son, I don't know when, but we'll get together then, Dad. We're going to have a good time then. One of the things we may not realize about this particular song is that Harry Chapin's wife, Sandy, wrote this song. And she wrote this song when their son was born, and it would become a self-fulfilling prophecy. When Josh was 7 years old, Harry Chapin was doing 200 concerts a year. And he told his wife on the phone, he promised her, at the end of the summer, I will come home and I will spend time with you and Josh. That day never came. Chapin was killed in a car accident. He never had the time. Therefore, time had no more to do with him. Treasure, invest, manage, and everlasting. Time is everlasting. It is eternal life. And here is a sobering point about bringing a child into this world, because God hands to you a soul for your keeping, for your rearing. And then that soul, we are responsible for carrying or influencing or encouraging up to God again in eternal life. So you think about a soul, that soul given to us, leading that soul to eternal life. Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The words of Matthew 6, 19 to 21. So where is my treasure? My treasure ought to be in my marriage, in my children, in my family, in my relationship with the Lord. If that's true, that's where my heart's going to be. If there's one thing we need in our marriages, we need our hearts. The one thing we need in parenting, our hearts. And what the Lord wants from us is our hearts. And so that everlasting part is so, so sobering. It is interesting, isn't it, what Jesus had to say about the worth of a soul. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? In other words, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Think about this. What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his marriage? What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his family? What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and destroys his relationship with the Lord? What will a man give in exchange for his marriage, his family, or his relationship with the Lord? I was so impressed, and you may have heard this story several years ago. Ken Griffey Jr., one of the greatest baseball players to ever play, was invited to the Players' Choice Awards, and he was going to be named the Player of the Decade. And he got that award over greater stars, you would think, like Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens and Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa. This was before the steroid era. But Ken Griffey Jr. was going to be honored above them all. But when he discovered when that ceremony was going to take place, he declined the invitation. He had something more important to do than that. Now, what in the world could be more important than receiving that accolade which set him apart as the greatest athlete of the decade? Well, his five-year-old son, Trey, was playing in his first baseball game. And Ken Griffey Jr. said, I will not miss my son's first ball game. When Griffey Jr. was asked sometime later, after all this had blown over, where did he learn that? He said, I learned that from my father, Ken Griffey Sr., who was there for all of my games. And he said, I'm going to try to be there for every one of my son's games. So when you put it in the balances and you weigh it, eternal life with God or eternal damnation separated from him, where do we want our children? Where do we want our marriages? Where do we want our own souls to end up? That requires making tough choices. But if you choose with heaven in mind, heaven will always win. But if we choose with the world in mind, the Lord will always lose, and we'll lose the most in eternity. So what will it be? What's most important to my children? What's most important to my marriage? Eternal life. That's why we're in Bible class. That's why we're in worship. That's why we're serving our communities. That's why we're doing all that we can to spread the borders of the kingdom. That's why we're investing our souls in this congregation. Why? Because more than anything else, at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, every dollar's been spent, nothing is left, all is gone. All that matters is my wife is in heaven, and my children and my grandchildren are in heaven and will be there forever together. That's all that matters. Nothing else matters. Nothing is more important. And so God is giving us time to get our houses in order, literally. Now, what are we doing with the time God has invested in his children, you and me? Today is the day to obey the gospel or to be restored if an erring Christian. Paul told the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 6:2, today is the day of salvation. And so right now, if you desire to become a Christian, nothing standing in your way. If you desire this morning to be restored and to begin anew, start all over again, you may. Please come while together we stand and sing.